Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week is Steve Sippa. Steve, earlier this week, Hillary Clinton, or more likely some unpaid Brooklyn intern, tweeted out a query to those of us on Twitter.com to describe our student loan experience in three or fewer emojis. Obviously, we have a no politics rule, but if you were to describe the Mets season in three or fewer emojis, which emojis would you use?
My first emoji would be the poop emoji.
You gotta have it. The smiling poop has to be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know what order you want to do it, but smiling poop does have to be in there.
The first one will be the poop. Mm-hmm. The next one will be the big grinning smiley face, because we've won 11 of 13 games. We're four up right now over the Nationals, so it's a good time to be a Mets fan. And the last one, I think, is going to be like that kind of afraid, shocked face, because I've lived through 2007. I've lived through 2008. Can they keep this up, or is this going to just end in flames? I don't know, and I'm afraid. I don't know.
So I'm going with up arrow to signify their hot start early on in the season. Smiling poop. And crying Wilmer Flores, which would just be like crying. It's sort of like the turning point of the season for narrative purposes, at least.
Which crying? We have, there's two or three, I think. There's one that's like pouring tears. There's one that's just like one little tear.
I think one little tear is the way to go there. Because it was more of one of those. It wasn't like, you know, bawling. I think the single tear crying face. I'm glad that neither of us picked like the yellow parakeet, because let's just not try to make that happen, people.
No, that's stupid. I'm sorry.
This episode of... Hang on. The only way it would have worked is if after Cespedes hit the home run, he did the N1 Encarnacion and the parakeet landed on his arm.
Right.
Then you can do whatever you want with that. I mean, it would have broken the internet. Forget Kim Kardashian. Just the meme, the volume of memes would have been amazing. It would have been like that day. Between that, it would have... Was that the same day as... Yeah, it was the same day as the Tom Brady courtroom sketch. So it would have been bigger. It would have been the biggest day for Twitter.com if that had happened since... what was it? The dress and the two llamas happened on the same day.
Oh, I remember the dress, yeah.
So this is episode 133 of Amazing Avenue Audio. It's going to be a low-key one this week for a couple of reasons. One, not a ton has changed. As we outlined last week, this will be a good week for the Mets to put a little bit of distance between them and the Nationals, potentially. The Nationals have a tough West Coast swing, and the Mets were home against the Rockies and the Pirates. So far, so good. They went 4-0 against the Rockies. The Nats went 1-2 against the Dodgers, and kick off play later tonight, recording this on Thursday night, against the Giants. So Mets are 4-up as we record, and as Steve mentioned, we will talk a little bit about what's wrong with the Nats, but I'll be with Mike Farron of Power Alley on MLB Radio on Sirius XM, also formerly of the Fringe Average podcast, as you might remember, and a D.C. resident. So we'll get into sort of the state of things in D.C. We'll also answer emails, of course. The opening news segment will be a little quiet. I've had a tough week at work. I've had to go in early a bunch. I haven't done anything smart like not stay up to watch the Dodgers-Nats games the last couple nights. So I'm a little fried. And my boss's boss, to sort of celebrate a successful week, took us out for some afternoon, early happy hour drinks. So I'm already starting to crash. And I'm probably still going to try to stay up to watch the Nats-Giants game and edit this podcast. But there are a few things to talk about. And I think we will start with the road back to Flushing for Steven Matz and David Wright. Matz is throwing off flat ground and is targeting a September 1st return. David Wright is already in rehab games in Port St. Lucie. And we'll start with Matz, because I think there's sort of less stuff to unpack there. Assuming he's back by roughly September 1st, you know, Matz, I've already discussed maybe using some spot starters in the coming weeks. What would your ideal role be for Steven Matz down the stretch?
Honestly, it really depends on how the other pitcher is doing. I mean, Colon has been kind of volatile this season. And Nice is, you know, he started out a little shaky, but he's righted the ship. But, I mean, I see no real reason to not have him in the rotation, at least, you know, initially, especially since they want to have innings limits on Syndergaard and Harvey and everyone. But come, you know, playoffs, I might do something crazy and, like, put him in the bullpen just because he's a good arm and, you know, the back, you know, back ends of that bullpen can be kind of shaky.
It's not crazy.
Even Clippard, you know, including Clippard.
Yeah, Clippard, I get it now that I've seen him for, like, another week that he just gets really soft contact on fly balls all the time. But I still don't... I just believe that at some point it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Like, I get that it's always worked for him. But, and I kind of get how, but it's just like, I don't, it's like I said, those change-up only relievers are scary. They make me nervous. But Steven Matz in the pen does not make me nervous because Steven Matz is a motherfucker, and I've advocated for such on the show, especially in the playoffs, so there's just not going to be a spot for him. You're going to use your best three, you know, maybe keep a fourth guy around on a short leash as a starter if need be, depending on how you're, you know, the vagaries of your potential playoff scheduling shakes out. But leading up to that, look, if they're going to... It sounds like they want to skip a Matt Harvey start. They really want to sort of keep him to 185, 195 innings, at least during the regular season. Sounds like the reins on, at least from what Terry Collins is saying, so the usual 133-episode-long Terry Collins caveat goes here in terms of him speaking... on the topic of player usage or roster decisions. Just never know if he's actually parroting what the front office is going to do, or he's just sort of talking freely, expressing his thoughts on things that may or may not have any basis in what will happen next. We don't know. But if you're going to take that tact with Harvey, I just don't, like... And what probably won't happen next week is they have 2 days off. The week after, they have a full 7 games of baseball. That would seem like the logical time to either skip a Harvey start or bring up a sixth starter, a spot starter for that week. I just, if you're trading out a Matt Harvey start in a close playoff race, which it still is and still probably will be at that point, for Logan Verrett,
no.
What are you doing? Like, I just don't get the... if it's one, if you're skipping, you know, you're trying to shave off 7 innings. It doesn't matter if you're going to run him out there in, like, high-stress, high-leverage innings in the cold in October, ideally. It's like, you got it. The Verducci effect is not a real thing. And I understand it's not... It's different. They're not saying that about Syndergaard or DeGrom. Where that would be, he is coming off still fairly recent Tommy John surgery. But we're about two full years out now. It shouldn't be a huge concern if he throws 240 innings between the playoffs and the regular season this year.
No.
It can't be in the consideration. I understand you don't want to abuse these guys. You want to protect them to a certain extent. And just for Harvey, you don't know how his stamina is going to hold up. He's never thrown 200 innings in the majors. Let's be clear about that, too. So you don't know how it's going to play out in the next couple months. But he's looked pretty damn good lately. He doesn't seem to be tiring as the season goes on.
Strikeout's a little down, but
yeah,
that could just be a blip, you know.
It could be. You just don't know. I do know that he gives you the best chance to win games right now, based on who might be taking his spot in the rotation for a turn. And look, I like Logan Verrett. I like what I've seen from him this year. But... this is very much like Phil Humber starting the last week of that 2000, that was 2008,